Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here and share some of these results with you guys. So it's a pleasure to come to this meeting. It's always very informative, and the audience is always willing to learn. And that's pretty good for us that work on the university system. So this is the whole area of temperament and disposition, stress, and reproduction is it's part of my research program, and we've done a lot of work in this area, not only in Bos taurus cattle, but also Bos indicas and Bos indicas taurus crosses. And I'm going to share those results with you guys, and hopefully you're going to take some of this information back home and hopefully apply on your operation or on operations that you work at. So first of all, what's temperament? I'm just going to be standing up here, I guess. Temperament is classically defined as the responses of cattle when exposed to human handling. So basically, as temperament becomes, as temperament worsens, you know, to us, the response of the animal to human contact becomes more excitable or aggressive. Well, there is some sort of selection for temperament in the industry nowadays. And some breeds or associations or some scientists, they call temperament docility, but it's about the same thing. Temperament docility, disposition, they all relate back to the same trait. It's a heritable trait, okay, about 0.5. So there is some selection for this trait already going on, but mainly for safety reasons, okay. 15, 20 years ago, when you asked producers about using docility as a selection trait, was mainly because, you know, for handling issues. Just it's easier to handle cattle. They're not too aggressive for safety reasons. But since the early 2000s, there is a large evidence of research showing that those animals with more aggressive disposition, they're not as productive as the animals with better disposition. So, first of all, how do we assess temperament? How do we phenotypically assess temperament? How can we do that on the operations, okay, in a manner that's feasible, practical, and repeatable? One of them is the shoot score, okay? When we handle cattle for weighing, vaccination, preg check, AI, whatever you're doing, when you squeeze the animals into the chute, you can give the animal a score that goes from 1 to 5. Okay, 1 being an animal that's very calm, okay, going up to 2, 3, 4, and then 5 is that animal that you got to open the chute, otherwise you're going to have to buy another chute or go after the chute because the animal's going to take the chute with him. This is a picture, weaning time in burns. Okay, I got a student right here watching the steer doing the evaluation. So as you squeeze the animal, okay, you just observe how that animal is behaving inside the chute, and you just give a 1 to 5 score. Now, this is a subjective criteria because maybe I have an animal that I classify as a 2. Somebody else might classify as a 3. So it's always important to have the same person doing the scoring system to make sure that the data or the results are accurate. A more objective criteria or evaluation is the X velocity. It's basically the speed of the animal when he leaves the chute. So on the scientific standpoint, we do use some speed traps, just like we use on barrel racing. Okay, we set up one here. This is the start. This is the end. This is about 6 feet distance. We measure the time required for that animal to travel this distance, gives us the velocity. Now, this is about $1,000. If you don't want to do that, I mean, you want to buy that because you can play with this after you're done, you know, scoring cattle. But what we can do is gives you about the same results. It says when you open up the gate, you just give a 1, 2, or 3. 1 is that animal that walks away. 2 is trots away. 3 is the one that runs away. Okay, and those measurements, and I'm going to talk about that, they're actually measuring the fear of the animal, okay, by being around people. Because when you open the gate, if the animal is running as fast as possible, the animal is trying to get away from us as fast as possible. That means fear, okay? And fear means stress. And the way the animals cope with that stress is being aggressive. Does that make sense? If a person with machine gun comes through that door. Hopefully that's not going to happen. But if that happens, I got two options. We got two options, okay? Either we run away as fast as possible because we're afraid. We actually go and try to take the guy out because we're also afraid. We don't want to get shot. That's called the flight or fight response, which is triggered by fear. And basically what's happening is the animals that show that kind of aggressive disposition, and they do have a high shoot score, okay, and they do have a high X velocity, they're just afraid. They're not comfortable being around us, so they're trying to get away as fast as they can. And if they can take us out in the process, they will. That's why they are aggressive. So those are the two measurements that we often use to characterize temperament in cattle. And I like to do both, and many times I actually average both scores. And if you want more information on how to do those calculations, it's on the proceedings paper. And the reason why is they're usually well correlated. Okay, this is shoot score. You gotta go on both sides. So you guys on this side of the room don't think I'm, you know, being biased. But anyway. Got shoot score on this axis. I got X velocity on this axis. And you see that as shoot score goes up, X velocity, each point is an animal. Okay, this is a data set with about 400 animals. So as shoot score goes up, X velocity goes up, which makes sense. However, there are some animals that are so aggressive in the shoot that when you open the gate, animal's going to jump and fall down. Okay, and then you miss X velocity. So if you only do X velocity, you might think that animal is actually pretty good behaved. Wasn't. He just something happened. He tripped. He fell. He jumped. Something happened that his X velocity wasn't accurate. But if you have the shoot score, you might actually account for that. The other way around is also possible. As you have animals that are so stressed being the shoot, that animal basically freezes up, doesn't move. Okay, he's just shaking in there, but just so stressed out, so, you know, freaking out so much, he just doesn't move. But when you open the gate, he comes out just like Jimmy Johnson. So you got to do both, okay, if possible, to account for those shortfalls. And when I average both, I actually like to come up with a temperament score just to have something more solid that I can share with producers in terms of classifying animals according to temperament. And I do that because if I average shoot score with X velocity, and again, that's the tail in the proceedings paper, I come up with a temperament score, okay, which again is based on shoot score and X velocity. 1 is a very calm animal. 5 is a very excitable animal. That's my temperament score. In addition to that, you know, as questions arise about this procedure, is okay, Ronaldo, what's your limit for good disposition? Okay, based on all the research we've done, based on experience with cattle handling, we came up with animals with adequate temperament. Not only on the handling perspective, but also production perspective, is all of those with 3 or less, and animals with excitable temperament, which are the ones we are not looking for, is those with temperament score over 3. Okay, I'm going to share a bunch of data on this presentation about the production differences between those two groups. Now, you're not looking for animals with temperament score of 1. We're not raising puppies, okay? We're raising cattle. And cattle, they have to maintain some temperament on them to be able to survive and be productive. An example is, in Oregon, where we have one pair per 40 acres, okay, throughout the summertime. And God knows what they find out there during the summer grazing. Bears, wolves, coyotes, they got to search for water, they got to search for feed. That cow needs to protect the calf, okay? So keeping some temperament in the herd, it's important. So the cow is smart enough, okay, and has enough personality to be able to be productive and survive. So I usually like my cows in my situation in Burns, Oregon, 40 acres per cow, okay? Between 2 and 2.5, because I still have some personality on those cows, but I don't lose productivity. If you think about that calf, because it's heritable, okay? If you think about that calf, when it goes to the feedlot, also needs to have personality to fight for bunk space, okay? Because many times if you have an animal that's too dumb, it's going to get beat up, won't be able to go to the feed bunk and eat, won't gain weight. So keeping some disposition in the herd is not only important for the cows, but also for the offspring when it goes when they go to feedlots after weaning. Okay? So what does impact temperament? What are the factors that impact temperament on beef gut operations? First is the genders, the sex. Females are more temperamental than males. That's why we focus this on the cow side, not much on the bull side. Okay, even though there is implications on the bull side, we focus this more on the cow side. Age, young animals are more temperamental than older animals, not only because probably the older animals, they're being kind of selected for temperament already, okay? But they learn how to be around humans. But if you're dealing with first calf heifers or replacement heifers, you see more disposition on them compared to 4, 5, 6-year-old cows. Production system, range cattle or cattle raised on more extensive environments, they got more disposition, more aggressiveness than cattle raised on more intensive systems, not only because of selection again, but also because they don't see people or humans all the time, okay, when they're raised on this situation here. And then the breed type, a Bos Indicus cattle, as this is common knowledge, they are more aggressive. They got more disposition or personality compared to cattle with Bos Indicus, Bos Taurus genetics. And this is the reason to why we do a lot of work in Bos Taurus, especially in Oregon and in the West, raised on extensive systems. But also, I'm going to share some data with Bos Indicus cattle because we do a lot of work in Brazil with Bos Indicus cattle, which is my homeland, and also Bos Taurus, Bos Indicus crosses down in Florida when I was in grad school. So, all right. So, what's the connection between temperament and production traits? Okay. I also do research on the production side, body weight gain, feed efficiency, carcass traits in feeder cattle. And it's about the same, we believe it's about the same relationship. But if you think about how temperament might impact reproduction or reproductive function in beef cattle, I got three ideas here. We probably have more than that. We just don't know exactly what's going on. But on feedlot scenarios, it's clear that animals with more aggressive disposition, okay, they don't like to come to the feed bunk all the time. They stay in the back of the pen with their heads high, all right? So they don't eat as much as animals with good disposition, okay? Consequently, they don't gain as much weight as they should be gaining. Now, this is valid for feedlot cattle, but in cow-calf operations, in the cow side, that doesn't seem to be the reason why cows with more aggressive disposition, they don't produce as well as cows with better disposition because they graze the same, they eat the same, they have the same body condition score. I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about body condition score, but trust me, all the research studies we did, there's no differences in body condition score, body weight change, feeding intake between cows, good disposition and aggressive disposition, excitable disposition, I'm sorry. Something that I don't know, something that we're looking into, and something that deserves a lot of investigation is the genetic relationship between temperament and reproduction. Okay, maybe when we're selecting animals, maybe those animals with the genes, okay, because it's heritable, okay, moderate heritable, but it is. Maybe the animals with the genes that control for excitable disposition, or the genes that are favoring excitable temperament, their genes for reproduction are not that good. And I'm not a geneticist, okay, to give you a better explanation on that, but we might have some connection going on here. When you're selecting animals, we're not selecting animals. When you have animals with the genes for more excitable disposition, automatically they are coming with genes that are not too favorable for reproductive efficiency. And I don't know the answer to that, but it seems like that's probably going on and deserves better understanding and assessment. Now, something that we focus more because it's easier to do and it makes sense, and that's how we started this whole rationale, is the physiology between temperament and reproduction, okay? And I gave you a brief explanation about disposition being a stress response, and stress triggers the release of cortisol. And cortisol has several effects on the reproductive axis, and many of them are not positive.
Okay? So if you look at this couple graphs I'm going to share, this is embossed Taurus indicus crosses. This is, you know, Brayfords and Brangus heifers. If you look at their temperament score on the x-axis, goes from 1 to 5, and this is the body. This is the blood cortisol concentration. So we ran those heifers through the chute several times. We got a blood sample. We did the temperament evaluation. There is a nice correlation. As temperament score increases, becomes more excitable, cortisol almost doubles. Okay. The same relationship is true in mature cows. This is embossed Taurus indicus crosses. All right. Again, as temperament score goes up, cortisol also goes up. This is an Angus type of cows. This is in Oregon. Again, as temperament score goes up, cortisol goes up. And this is in the lower cows, Bos Indicus in Brazil. Okay, here they are divided into adequate, which is less than 3, less or equal than 3, temperament score, or excitable disposition, which is over 3. And again, a pretty significant increase in cortisol when we handle those cattle for blood collection. Remember, to get a blood sample, you got to handle them. So actually, not artificially, but you are provoking a stress reaction on animals because you're bringing them close to humans, which is causing the difference not only in temperament score, but also cortisol concentrations. Does that same outcome happens on pasture? We are not messing with those animals. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay, so now, what's the connection between temperament and reproductive traits? So, it was back in 2006 or 7. I was still in grad school doing a study with ovariectomized cows. Okay, I can't remember exactly what we were doing, but I had about 12 ovariectomized cows, and two of them were crazy as hell. And I just couldn't get those cows into the chute and get a blood sample. We're doing something about glucose or insulin. I don't know exactly. But I was also measuring progesterone on those ovariectomized cows because we were trying to look into liver clearance of progesterone. We were going to insert those cows with cedars, doing a bunch of crazy stuff. But before we did that, I was getting blood samples from those OVX cows to establish that they had no progesterone at all. What happened was on those two extremely crazy cows, not only I found the glucose insulin levels, you know, way over the charts, but also they had 2.5 nanograms per mL blood or plasma of progesterone, and they had no ovaries, okay? But they had 2.5 nanograms per mL of progesterone. And then just visiting with Cliff, with some of the guys in Florida, we came up with this idea, well, maybe their physiology is so screwed up because of that stress caused by the excitable disposition, that's going to be impacting their reproductive function and performance. So going back into the literature, we found this nice data out of Oklahoma State back in 87. As they had, this wasn't about temperament, but relates back to temperament, as they had cows that were acclimated to human handling, I mean, they were used, you know, to be around people, they were used to come to the chute and get a blood sample, okay, so automatically they had pretty good disposition, even though the authors didn't mention that. And then we had animals, they had animals that were not acclimated, consequently, pretty excitable disposition, haven't been in the chute that long or that much, weren't used to be around people as much. So when they collected blood from those animals, they saw that animals that were acclimated, pretty low cortisol, animals that were not acclimated, extremely high cortisol. And cortisol has a direct effect on the reproductive axis, especially when we talk about FSH and LH. LH is the hormone that's responsible for ovulation. And here's the connection. Those animals with extremely high cortisol, they had less mean concentration of LH compared to the animals with less cortisol, the acclimated ones, and less pulses per hour. So that means that those animals with extremely high cortisol caused by the stress of handling, probably because they had excitable disposition, they would have a hard time ovulating compared to the animals with better disposition. So to really investigate that, what we did was we got a set of heifers, okay, start with heifers. replacement heifers from weaning until the beginning of their first breeding season. We collected a bunch of several samples for cortisol. We measured for, you know, we evaluated those heifers for temperament. And we saw that those animals that reached puberty, okay, by 12 months of age, which is the orange bar, they had they had less temperament score than the animals that did not reach puberty, okay, and also less mean cortisol concentrations during the growing period, telling us that the animals are not reaching puberty by 12 months of age, okay, which was the goal at the research center at that time. They were a little more excitable than the animals that were reaching puberty by 12 months of age. Now, to further fortify that data set, we also collected data from our mature herd. Okay, this is the Brayford herd that we had down in Florida. And again, this is the temperament score evaluated at the time of AI. I'm sorry, time of at the beginning of the breeding season. This is bull breeding only, so we're not messing with those cows during the breeding season. All right? We just collect the temperament score on day zero of the breeding season, turn the bulls out for about 90 days, and this is the preg rates according to temperament score. From 95% on the cows with good disposition, 90-95%, down to 75% on the cows with excitable disposition. Showing that even when we don't handle them all the time, those animals with more excitable disposition, they don't breed as well compared to the animals with good disposition. So it's not only about cortisol and handling and stress. There's something else going on that goes back to that genetic relationship. We believe it's there. We're not for sure exactly what's going on. And this is, when we gather those cows for temperament evaluation, we also get a blood sample for cortisol, and the same relationship is true, okay? Cows with extremely high cortisol at the beginning of the breeding season, which is measurement of disposition when we handle them for a blood collection, they don't breed as well compared to the cows with good disposition or low cortisol. But remember, okay, we just handle those animals on day zero. For the next 90 days, they were out there with the bulls on pasture with no human handling. Now, fixed time AI, no lower cows, just one AI, okay, a bunch of cows we did on the study. And again, as temperament score goes up, preg rates to AI go down. When we classify cows for good temperament, excitable temperament, about a 8% decrease in preg rates to fixed time AI. Okay? Significant. Moving to Angus cows in Oregon. Okay? A little different scenario than the cows in Brazil. Not as much green as I hope we had up in Oregon, but still. Okay? This is close to the station that I work at. Very dry environment. Okay, about 40 cows, about four, I wish it was 40 cows, 40 acres per cow per pair during summer grazing, so they don't see people a lot throughout the year, okay? On our Angus-based herd, again, this is temperament score assessed at the beginning of the breeding season, then we had a fixed-time AI protocol plus a 50-day bull breeding. And we saw a nice, a significant decrease in preg rates to AI plus bull breeding. This is at the end of the breeding season, okay? This is the weaning rate, okay? Again, the cows with good disposition weaning more calves than the cows with a more excitable disposition. That comes from the preg rates. This is calf weaning age was about the same, so meaning that the cows that got pregnant, they got pregnant at the same time during the breeding season. Calf weaning body weight, about the same. You know, those excitable cows, they probably don't breed as well as the cows with good disposition, but they're good mamas, okay? They protect their calves, okay? Those calves nurse well, so about the same body weight that weaning. But when we do the pounds, or this is kilos, kilos off weaned calf per cow exposed to breeding, we see a significant decrease as the cows from the excitable group, they were weaning about 35 pounds per cow less of calf compared to the cows on the good disposition group, which is about 63 bucks. If you had a herd
with only excitable cows compared to a herd with only good disposition cows, the cows on this herd will bring you $63 less at weaning compared to the cows on the good disposition group, which goes back to the last preg rates that excitable cows had at the end of the breeding season. Does that make sense? Okay. So a more comprehensive study with Bos Indicus, and we like to use Bos Indicus as a model because we see more excitable cows on the Bos Indicus breeds. So give us more statistical power to make the comparisons we're looking for. And this is, we had, so this is just to show that in terms of, I'm just going to switch this to this side now. So this is just to show that we have cows with excitable disposition, adequate disposition, body condition score, body weight, age was all about the same, okay? I just can't read now. So if you go to preg rates, to the first AI, about a 6 percentage point increase, okay? And then if you look at the relationship between cortisol at the time of AI, the first AI, the preg rates went down, all right? Cows with good disposition, less cortisol, more preg. Cows with more excitable disposition, more cortisol, less preg rates. So that first AI, which makes sense, goes back to what we've shown before in our research program. Now, those cows were also exposed to second AI, then bull breeding. Okay, we didn't see differences because the numbers were, you know, way less than the first AI. But I want you guys to pay attention to the final preg rates, okay, which is first, second bull breeding, and then we had the final preg rates in the breeding season, and then we had the calving rate. So calving rate was actually almost 10 percentage points less on the excitable group compared to the adequate group. And this is caused by late preg loss. And we were expecting to see that, but we did, okay? And why we weren't expecting? Because the whole temperament reproduction rationale is caused by we bringing those cows to the chute, we handling them, they're expressing their aggressive behavior, cortisol going up, messing up with reproductive function, right? Now, after the bull breeding, after the second AI, we didn't mess with those cows anymore. They're all on pasture with the bull, and after that, they were just on pasture. But something happened here that they didn't maintain the pregnancy as well as the cows with good disposition. So that tells me that there's something else going on besides the physiology between stress, disposition, and reproduction. Now, there's a technique now that we were able to develop and validate on the beef cattle side that comes from the human side, which is the concentration of cortisol in the hair. Okay, so cortisol, I mean, if I take in humans, actually, that's done as they can measure cortisol in our hair and see our baseline stress for about a month. Actually relates back to our chances of, you know, having a heart attack or something like that. So what we did was we got a hair sample from those cows at the time of AI, and they gave us an idea of their concentrations of cortisol for the last 30 days. So a more chronic evaluation of cortisol instead of that just one snapshot of cortisol when we handled those cows for blood collection. What we saw was no difference. Okay, so when those cows are on pasture, we're not messing with them. Okay, it seems like their physiological stress levels are about the same. The cortisol only difference when we bring them to the chute, expose them to the people, to human interaction, and then they show that cortisol response. Okay, so there might be something else relating excitable disposition, reproduction that we know, you know, for now, and I think goes back to the genetic relationship that I talked about earlier in the presentation. So, just to summarize this initial part, I just got a couple more slides to finish up here. Excitable disposition is detrimental to reproductive performance of females independent of breed. I showed you guys that with Bos Taurus, Bos Indicus, and crosses. Okay, how? On this studies, nutritional status was accounted for, so it's not nutritional status. Okay. I showed you that about the physiology. We know that when we bring the animals to the chute, cortisol goes up. It might explain decreased preg rates to AI, but doesn't explain decreased preg rates to bull breeding as well as late preg loss, especially when we look into the hair cortisol data. Okay? Generic relationship, still unknown. That's the way we need to go from now on, understand what's going on. So, but when you get all this data together, I think the message is clear that the improving temperament of the cow herd is going to benefit reproductive efficiency in cow-calf operations. All right. So how do we do that? Well, we have several options to improve the overall temperament of the cow herd. One of them is using temperament as selection or culling criteria. Okay, selection of sires, selection of cows with good disposition. Culling those aggressive and unproductive cows. Well, she's open and she's aggressive. There's no need for that cow to stay in the herd. Okay? But also keeping in mind that it's important to maintain some temperament in the herd so those cows can survive extensive environments. Those animals, the offspring has enough personality to be productive and be successful in the feedlot, for instance. And the way we handle animals, okay, is actually going to determine the way they behave against us. So we are also responsible for maintaining temperament of the herd in adequate levels by managing and handling those animals properly. Okay, you can make a calm cow into an aggressive one easily. Just don't do what you're supposed to do. Okay? All right? Is that clear? So the way we handle those, our animals actually determine or impact their baseline disposition. The last thing I want to talk about is acclimating this young animals to human interaction. And we came up with this idea because if you think about when we halter train animals, you know, for fair, for age, it's when they're young. So what if when they are young, we expose them to more human contact and hopefully they're going to be more docile with better disposition and be more productive females. So this is a study done on two sites, Bos Indicus, Bos Taurus crosses, and then Bos Taurus in Oregon. What we did was, I'm just going to go over this pretty quick. After weaning, we weaned those heifers about 7 months of age. Okay, and then for the next month after weaning, we exposed them to frequent human interaction. About three times a week, brought those heifers to the pen, to the cow pens, ran them through the chute, got them, you know, in close contact with people, and hopefully that was going to improve their temperament, and having those heifers or have those heifers develop faster in terms of reproduction. So data with crosses, Brayfords and Brangus. What we saw was before acclimation, so this is at weaning, about the same, what is this, cortisol. After that 1 month acclimation, so we had a control group that didn't go through the acclimation process, which is the blue. We had acclimated heifers, which is orange. We had a nice decrease in cortisol between, or difference in cortisol between groups being less on the acclimated group. Okay, shoot score about the same. I want you guys to see puberty. Okay. This is puberty. The heifers that went through that 1 month acclimation process, which improved their temperament a little bit and decreased their cortisol concentrations during handling, they reached puberty sooner than the heifers on the control group. And body weight gain was actually less on the acclimated heifers than on control group. Okay? And during the breeding season, because they reached puberty sooner, they became pregnant sooner. During that first breeding season, which was bull breeding on. We replicated the same study on Bos Taurus. Cortisol before, cortisol after acclimation. Puberty. Heifers on the acclimated group reaching puberty sooner than the heifers on the control group. So exposing them to a bit of human interaction, getting them used to people actually helps, especially when they're young. We tried the same thing with mature cows, didn't work. Okay, so those young heifers, they are susceptible to this improvement in disposition if you expose them to people as often as possible, especially after weaning. I'm not saying that you guys have to do this temperament or this acclimation process. You just spend more time with your heifers. That should help in terms of temperament and reproductive development of those young females. So excitable temperament is detrimental to reproduction. How? Physiology, genetics, I hope, you know, we were able to elucidate some of those connections to you guys. And improved temperament of the herd is going to benefit production in beef operations, either through selection of animals with good disposition and also acclimation to handling. With that, I'll take any questions if there's time. Thank you.